Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Paul Tarasharish, it is a time of reinvention and good intentions, resolutions and all of that. Our resident folklorist and author Joe Kerrigan is here to tell us more. Good morning, Joe.
And good morning to you, Oliver, and joys of 12th tonight to you.
You're always in good form, Joe. How long have we been doing this whole New Year thing and calling it a fresh beginning in our lives, even though nothing much has actually happened to us?
It's amazing, actually, how far back it goes. I was surprised when I researched it years ago. As far back as 2000 BC, the Babylonians were celebrating it. It probably goes back further than that, but we just happen to know about them.
Yeah.
They had it at the March the 21st. See, there's no rule it has to be on the 1st of January. That was just a Roman idea. Yeah.
They wouldn't have had the calendar, would they?
No. Theirs began at the vernal equinox, when the start of spring, and they thought this is the start of the new year, which you can see the sense of it, really, can't you?
That makes sense,
beginning again and starting. And what I love about it is one of their resolutions was to return any farming equipment they'd borrowed from each other. I love that.
Right.
You know, some of the fella next door borrowed your rake or he borrowed your hoe.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, hey, I need that now. So
that's
the new
time
year,
of the year.
Yep. You had to return anything you'd borrowed from someone else. That was a good thing to do.
So that's in Babylon, and I don't know much about the Babylonians, but David Gray has been trying to teach us for years.
The Romans they were always changing the grounds, and they decided to have the New Year start at the beginning of January, and they gave it to January, Janus, the god Janus.
Janus, what a terrible name, but
I
go
know,
on.
Well, it's not Jesus, no, it's Janus.
Janus.
And he was two-faced. He looked both ways. He looked back and he looked forward.
Ah.
And under Janus, you were looking back to what you'd done in the year behind, in the year back.
Away, yeah.
And the things and mistakes you made, things you might have done wrongly, and you looked forward to the bright future when you might do things better.
Oh, that's a much better idea, isn't it? Because we tend to kind of close 2025 the minute the 1st of January arrives.
Yeah.
Because all the reviews of the year are done. And
yep.
But you're supposed
you
to actually look back a bit.
And then you look back and you said, OK, I did that and I behaved that way. I will try and do this in the year ahead because it's still new and fresh and untrodden ground. In the medieval times, the knights, you know, the knights were the very posh people.
Yeah.
And at their great banquets, they'd probably have a stuffed peacock in the middle of the table. Oh. I don't know what peacock tasted like.
Did they ate peacock?
They did. Well, the bird probably might have had some meat on it if they'd kept them in the farm. But they looked beautiful on the table. They'd put them back together and assemble all the feathers around them.
Oh. Oh God,
and it was a very glorious piece with the head on top and everything. And they'd lay their hands on that. They'd make a vow to uphold the standards of chivalry, to always be honourable to women, to be decent in battle and in fight, to live according to the honourable rules of chivalry.
And they certainly broke all of those codes.
Yes, well, they did, particularly in not bashing people over the head with their two-handed sword.
That's for sure. And then I presume in more recent centuries, there have been very pious resolutions. We're going to pray
more. Oh, there were. You were going to pray more. You were going to go to Mass every day instead of just on Sundays.
Yeah.
You were going to go to confession. You were going to be nice to your neighbours. You were going to do good to other people. And somebody did a survey of these in the 1940s and they were all that sort of thing where you were doing good.
Yeah.
And then they compared them with ones today and people are saying, I'm going to lose more weight. I'm going to walk 2,000 steps a day. I'm going to go to the gym more often. They were all to do with yourself and improving your own looks and your own body. There were nothing to do with looking after your neighbours.
The individualism has taken over.
I'm afraid it has. But I wondered when New Year resolutions as a term happened, and I found it in a newspaper from 1813. It was an American newspaper.
That's not very far back, is it, at all? 1813?
I know, it's practically the modern day as far as I'm concerned. I don't consider anything beyond the medieval
I know you don't.
I don't. And they said, people, I believe there are multitudes of people who will sin all the month of December with a serious determination of beginning the new year with new resolutions and new behaviour, with the full belief that they shall thus expiate and wipe away all their former faults.
Oh,
now, that sounds a bit questionable to me. You could do what you liked in December. It's all right, I'll make a new year resolution on New Year's Day and I'm clean again. And it reminds me a wee bit, Oliver, of confession.
Mm.
You know, the Roman Catholic confession. Is it possible that people would sin wildly all week and then go into confession?
We've always wondered. You can go in and expiate yourself.
Yeah, and you just get it all clean and you're all right again.
Well, as sorry, long you, as you get expiated. Yeah, the Protestants can expiate themselves. That's why they don't go to confession.
They can do it themselves. This is where there was always an argument between the Catholics and the Protestants. Protestants said you don't need a priest in the way to get you to heaven. And the Catholics said, oh, yes, you do.
Tell us everything.
Yeah, tell them everything.
We want your data.
Yeah, well, that's what they were collecting.
The confession box is the first data centre. I've never thought of it that way before.
It was. They collected it and they used it.
So you can expiate yourself. People call it Dry January these days, where they just decide
they
to
do
all the sinning in December.
And all the sinning and all the over-drinking and all that. They will now go and do things. Most of them won't last beyond January. Did you make any New Year resolutions?
I don't. No, I never tried anything new. I just let it flow along. And I'm listening to Michael Harding, who was in with us yesterday. He said, you just sit back and wait for opportunities to arise. That's the resolution.
Yeah, mostly it's women these days who make them. Maybe it's women still feel that they ought to improve themselves. Because I talk to people, men say, no, I don't make New Year resolutions. Never saw the sense in it. Or they're like you and Mike Harding. And
they're perfect as
women,
they are.
Women are always looking to what they should do to improve themselves. Bad habit. Women are powerful to start with. They shouldn't have to improve themselves.
100%. And by the way, this New Year's resolution term then, as you've quoted, it's a Boston newspaper, wasn't it? So it's an American.
It was. It was an American that said that the sinful idea that you might work on
it's
do what you like in December.
They've given us some very good things, the Americans. New Year's resolutions are there and they're there to be ignored as well as pursued.
Maybe, yes, they can be.
Yeah.
But there are things you could do here too. You could make, instead of making New Year resolutions here about going to the gym or walking so many thousand steps a day and having a special new app put on your phone so you can count the steps, why don't you do things like letting your garden grow for no more May? Do you know?
Yes, yeah.
Letting the weeds come up in the middle and seeing how many, and counting the butterflies and insects that come down.
You want to return to the old ways, as you remind us constantly, Jo.
I do.
The good ones.
Instead of buying a darn leaf blower and showing off to the neighbours that you've got a leaf blower that you have to plug in and use electricity and puffing all over the place, go and rake the leaves up and put them into heaps that'll mulch down and make a wonderful compost for the garden. Make your own jams and jellies.
Do you tidy your garden at all over the winter?
If it needs it, but for me, needing it means making sure that the birds have enough to feed on and that the leaves are covering tender plants. I let the raked up leaves and cover over plants that need a bit of care.
If they don't blow away, that is.
Well, in Ireland, they're so soggy all the time, they don't blow away that much. They really don't.
And you also want us to rediscover the traditional ways of just travelling on the old boreens, the little roads around the place, if they're safe to walk.
Have you ever thought, if you drive between Cork and Dublin now, you pass everything of remotest interest? Even Cashel is way off the road.
All my summer holidays were down in East Cork, and now the road is very fast and safe, but we saw everything on the way down.
You saw things on the way down. And even now, if there's a digression and you have to go through a village, you'll see what the names are over the shops. You'll see what the people are doing. You'll see there's a little lake on the side of the road, or a small fairy fort, of course, or a castle that you never knew about. And you think, I'll look that up. And you're able to look it up on your phone now. And you say, oh, I never knew that castle was there. I never knew that lake was there. And I wonder what the history is behind that place. We should be going back to that. And of course, to the magic old roads, which appear at times like May Eve or other important festivals in the year. They say the old roads appear over the bogland.
Oh, these magic roads. That just
magic roads, they'll still, you can see them. You can see them. They come up under the moonlight. And if you follow those, you have to be careful. Rather like the ones out over the sea, you might not be able to get back.
God, Joe, you could object to any planning application on the basis of a magic road actually appears there.
Yes,
at certain pagan festivals.
Do you suppose there's one up in Doonbeg? Is there a magic road that
they
takes
might
care
find
of
one
snails?
If the ballroom goes ahead. Although in Doonbeg, they're very supportive of the project. We should say now. You know,
should, because it is helping. It is helping a local community.
Cutting the hedges as well. You're against that.
Oh God, I am.
You think this is a good resolution? People,
it's an outrageous to cut hedges at a time when the birds are nesting in there and the animals and the creatures are using that hedge. It's their shelter. It's their whole community. It's like those old Brambley Head books, which have lovely illustrations in them, which show how many creatures use the hedges. You know, they were there before we
remember
were.
Remember all those kids' books talking about brambles? I had no idea what a bramble was. I didn't know it was a briar until much later in life.
Is it in the city you were
the
brought
same
up,
thing.
Oliver?
I'm brought up on the farm, so we knew briars. And you're reading these English books going, and they went picking berries from the brambles.
Yes.
Don't have to clue. Well, we don't have any brambles over here. briars.
And of course we do, oh my God. Yeah, briars are brambles. You could also use them for making fences. And you could weave with brambles. You'd have to scrape off the prickles.
Oh my God,
but
yeah,
they've got
a,
they're like flax. They've got a very strong inside fibres.
Very impressive plant.
Oh, God, yes.
It grows
and
inches
it survives,
overnight.
And it survives. Have you ever seen the way it drops its tip into the ground?
Oh, yes, incredible.
And then
that,
the tip roots. Then yeah. comes out into little rootlets. And before you know where you are, I've got another plant growing. They're tip rooting.
Yeah.
They're there to survive. They're not going to be lost.
Oh, we're not going to get rid of them. No, that's for sure.
No.
I'm sure how else would we make the jam if we didn't have the blackberries come August?
Oh,
today is Nollaig na mBan. Will you be celebrating yourself, Joe?
I certainly will. I've been already to a breakfast with friends,
oh
with women
God.
Friends. We've been having an early morning breakfast.
Yep.
Outrageous stories telling each other, making fun of men, of course, and telling each other the most irrepressible stories and vowing to do more powerful things in the year ahead. But it goes back a long way in Ireland.
Yeah.
It goes back a very long way.
Go on.
And it's a... There's a lady I was speaking to once. She's the widow of the fellow who made all those wonderful old films. Can't remember his name right now. But she lived on the west of Ireland.
Oh, right, okay.
And she said that in her day, on her mother's day, and her grandmother's day, it's a day of power, almost like a religion. The men
yeah.
were banished from the house, she
banished.
Said.
Banished?
They were banished. They had go out and walk the fields. It's not exactly the best time of year to be walking on muddy fields in the west of Ireland. And they would be banished and the women would gather together in one of the houses and they would build up the fire and they would bring out cakes and drink.
Very good.
And they would talk and they would tell stories and the men were not allowed back in until the dark of the evening.
And this was the time, obviously, where men weren't involved in doing anything for Christmas. So it was very extra important in these days.
Yes, I know. It became rather pretentious later on and patronising. It's women's Christmas or the little Christmas. And if you're a really insulting male, you'll say women's little Christmas or little women's Christmas, which is going to get you bopped on the head by any female.
My Cork
by.
Mammy has always called it little Christmas.
Well, little Christmas is a term people use because it wasn't a big Christmas. But if you look back in time, we had Christmas at one time, we had Christmas at another time, we had festivals. The Americans have Thanksgiving and then go all the way through
around,
until January. And you have others who start their Christmas in mid-January. And of course, in between, you had the calendar, the church changing the calendars and taking 12 days out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So really, it's any time around midwinter. It all belongs to midwinter, really.
And in the medieval times, and it was popularised around Dickens's time in England, Victorian England as well, the Twelfth Night, that
12th
idea.
Twelfth Night. Shakespeare,
yeah,
too,
Shakespeare,
back in
yeah.
Shakespeare's day, Twelfth Night. It was a medieval Christmas. The Lord of Misrule came out. Misrule.
So that was last night.
It was something was changed topsy-turvy.
Aha. And what did they do to celebrate
it
the 12th?
It meant that on 12th night, the lord of the manor and his lady and all their rich people would all change into poor, ragged clothes and they'd
really?
Put the lowest of the servants, the scullions and the ones who scrub the floor, into rich clothes for the night and set them at the head of the table. It was like a gigantic joke, if you like.
It was a joke. Do you think the sort of reversal of roles there is something that then arrived in Ireland later on,
with
Nollaig na mBan?
With Nollaig na mBan, I'm afraid it has become rather a day which is making... it's patronising. It's male patronising at its worst.
But it's mostly women that drive it, though, isn't it?
Well, the women... that's what that lady in the west of Ireland was when she was talking about it. She said it was a powerful time and no man would dream to contradict it. No man would dream of coming back into the house and saying, hey, where's my dinner, or I can't find my clean shirt. They
right.
didn't dare to go in. It was more powerful then. There was a strong power attached to it that women retrieved and brought back in their own old power again for at least one night. Now it's become time when, God help the women, they've been working all through Christmas, they're so hard. Give them one little day off to themselves.
I thought now modern times it's women just have created the modern festival to celebrate themselves.
No, it's a very old festival. It's just got a different actor. Do you know what it reminds me of, the modern one? It reminds me of the secretary's day out. Now, have you ever come across...
I have not come across this before. This sounds like something from the 50s.
No, it wasn't. It's happening now. I wish it were from the 50s. It's rather like... it's a time when a big business with an awful lot of secretaries who normally run the entire office and keep the whole thing smooth.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a research team behind you there who work their socks off day and night.
I do nothing, yeah.
Yeah, I know all you do is sound charming on the radio.
I'm not even able to do that at times.
They do all the research beforehand. But because these girls run the entire place all year, the place will be finished without them. They're allowed this one day when they're allowed to go out to a lunch, which is paid for by their bosses, and they get treated to lunch, and they get given a little goodie bag after with some makeup in it and some lipstick to remind them where their role is in life, to look beautiful and charming in the office.
That was obviously from an era where secretaries were mostly women. I mean, they still are mostly women, but they were exclusively women at one stage.
Yeah, I'm surprised they're still doing it, but I have come across it in the past few years.
It's happening in the last few years, wow.
Yeah, in a couple of very large companies that shall be nameless. And the girls are grateful. They shouldn't be grateful. They should say, sod that for a lark. Type your own letters. Admittedly, today with emails, the males are getting around to realising they can write their own messages.
Yes,
and do
they are. We're all secretaries now.
But women are still making sure that the place, rather like in the home, making sure that the shirts are clean and tidy. There's a lovely poem I can never forget by Dorothy. It's called Why Dorothy Wordsworth Is Not As Famous As Her Brother.
Oh, yeah.
And the poem says, you know, I wandered lonely as a cloud. Yes, William, they're upstairs in the drawer. I wandered lonely as a... No, I put them there yesterday. You saw me ironing them. I wandered... No, William, don't panic. I'll come up and find them for you.
He was able to wander.
Oh, he was able to wander and write notes. His sister wrote the notes, actually, for him. And then they came back and he looked at them, emotion recollected in tranquility, and took all her notes and said, thank you, dear, that's helpful, and wrote them up. Honestly.
I always love the byroads you bring me down on these conversations. The magic roads. Come here, a texter is saying most of the country would refer to today as Little Christmas. Nullig the man idea. It was local to parts of Munster, never elsewhere. It's a modern affectation. Affectation, says the texter.
The hell it is. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, correspondent, if I have insulted you on that, but it's not a modern affectation. It's a very old one.
It's an old, and you've done the research.
I have, and yep. Also I think it goes back to a rather more powerful time. You know that in ancient Ireland, and indeed in the rest of the world, Greece particularly, women were all powerful. Women were honoured for their incredible power to be able to reproduce the world and the nation. And women had power which men did not have. And when it came to certain times of the year, the women would choose a young man, a gorgeous young man, very sexy young man, and they would make much of him and they'd give him everything he wanted, sensually and food-wise and drink-wise. They'd spoil him rotten. And then they'd bring him outside to a hilltop and tear him to pieces.
Oh, my God. Lots of people coming with their messages for Nullig the Man, how they're celebrating. 60 women from RD Active Retirement are holding their 18th Nullig the Man dinner in Brian Muldoon's today, says Mary Dunn, which is a fine place in RD that serves up nice grub. Active Retirement. So 18 years in a row they've been doing it. And they're sisters doing it for themselves, Joe.
Yes, they are. They're doing it for themselves. They're saying, I don't care where this comes from or what the custom was, but I think this is right and we're going to do it and men are not part of it. Unless the men come and do a strip show or something, which is allowed. But given what the ancient Greeks, the Maenads, used to do, it probably would be safer not to try a strip show when it's a group of women having a mother this day. Nullig the Man.
Someone was texting in there about Little Christmas and how it was a day where they had a turkey again and had a sort of a second Christmas. That's all gone now.
Well, as long as there was a man to cook it for them.
It had to be, yeah, it had to be the men doing the work.
That's yes, the men had to do the work in the reversal of roles and the women had this day to themselves.
So you've had the breakfast. What's next now for your day?
Oh, I'll be checking out and things here for a while and then probably going out this evening to one of the major events that are around. But what I actually like best is when I get together with a gang of friends at home, bring all the women in that I know who've got like minds and we talk about everything.
Dangerous women.
Yeah, talk about things, tear people to pieces, have a right old evening and no holds barred.
Oh my God.
And woe betide any man who dares be sent through
I was about to say, I wish I could join, but obviously be banned on today.
You would, even the Tomcat doesn't dare come in.
That's where the word ban in English and Irish works. Yes. And of course, it was 20 years ago they changed the school calendar. So the schools used to be off today until tomorrow. But
yes,
the
they
world.
Did. We used to have longer summer holidays too because you had to help with the harvest at the end of the year.
Ah. But now if we got the teachers out doing the harvest,
yeah,
maybe they would
did.
Take.
And maybe back in earlier times, kids would be understood if kids couldn't get to school if they had to dig the potatoes or do the harvest. But it was understood the school had to reflect around the year, the all important times of the year.
Always a pleasure, Joe Kerrigan. Nullig na man, hona ditch. And be safe between the ditches.
Got a vocally in Vonog.
Slán.
Slán agus
Oliver at rte.ie.